Good morning, Rabotai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in loving memory of Michelle Golbari's beloved grandmother, Lilu Nishmat, Yitzhak ben Hanom, Vimeir, Alav Shalom, from Michelle Golbari. Also dedicated for a speedy and complete refuah shlemah for Mordechai ben Odelia, from the Marcus family. Bezat Hashem, this is Yizochel Lorot, Yishuot Nehamot. Also dedicated the entire week of Breakfast in the Class by AJ Gindy and Renewal in honor of our partners at MJ Safra, saving lives together, one kidney at a time. For the refuah shlemah of Chana bat Simafega and Eliyahu Shimon Mazal Fortuneh. And as well for the Breakfast in the Class is dedicated in loving memory of Irving Hara, Alav Hashalom Lirishpat Ezra ben Sarah ben Yisim, sponsored by his grandson, Murray Dayan. And finally, not yet. Breakfast in the Class is also wishing our daughter Goldie Bat Leah, Goldie Abraham, a happy birthday up to Mea Ve'esrim. May you continue spreading the light of Torah and Bitachon Yo Kirub, your class and your postings on Instagram. Loads of health, Shalom Bayit, and happiness to your husband Shalom Baruch Hashem, Laura and Mauricio Sion. The week of Torah learning for this week is dedicated by Torah Center Silver Donors, Deborah and Asha Zamir, in loving memory of Lilu Nishmat, Nurit Yitzchak Zamir, and Sarah and Louis Masri, Alehem HaShalom. The week of Kobo was sponsored by David Yash in honor of you, and your substantial capacity to good today and every day. My friends, let us begin. We begin the Haggadah with a very specific tefillah. Halachma Anya. Right? This is the bread of the poor. That our forefathers ate in the land of Egypt. And the end of that prayer says, Hashata acha avde. Now we are here in Galut. Now we are here as slaves. L'shana haba'a b'ra'ad Yisrael. Right, next year will be Be'ezrat Hashem b'nei Chorim. Please only answer amen if you're listening to this live. Baruch atah Adonai. L'nei melech ha'olam. She'akol nebaro. Now, the interesting thing is that we start with the expression of Ge'ula, and we end also the end of the Haggadah also with expressions of Ge'ula, of being redeemed, of the Mashiach coming. And I don't just mean the beginning of the night, I mean also the Kosh Eliyahu, Shfoch Hamatcha, the return of Eliyahu, to be the harbinger of Mashiach, L'shana Abba B'Yerushalayim, everyone sings at the end of the Seder. So the question is, why in the world are we focusing on the Ge'ula Ha'atida when the focus of the evening is supposed to be the Ge'ulat Mitzrayim? It's a strange thing to do, right? Really, we should be talking about the redemption from Egypt and thanking Hashem for that and remembering that and instilling that in our children. That's the mitzvah. In fact, if you look in the Torah, when the Torah tells you what the obligation of the night is, what does it say that we're supposed to be teaching our children? In order you should speak in the ears of your children. All the things that I did in Egypt. Right? All the different pesukim. And those pesukim make up the basis for the Haggadah. And you'll tell your son, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, Sheinu, the Shol, you'll tell them about Yisiyah Mitzrayim. Nowhere does it say in the Torah. Nowhere. And you will tell your son that you are going to get redeemed in the end of time from Mashiach. Nowhere do we find Bikesh Yaakov. Yaakov intended legalot et haketz, to tell us about the future redemption. So why is it that we are starting and ending with talk of the future redemption? It's also, if you think about it, perhaps a little bit presumptuous. Let me explain. Imagine someone lends you $1 million to start up your business. And you say to him, thank you so much. I really appreciate the $1 million. I'm looking forward to the next $1 million. And just to make sure, he smiles, half smiles at your chutzpah. But then you mention it again and again. And then the end of the thing is, again, before he goes, okay, Alamak, see you later. Next year, again, another million. What are you doing? In many ways, it seems like there's a lack of kavod, a lack of appreciation of what you got, that you're asking for more. Why is this? That this is the structure of the way the Haggadah is structured. My friends, I want to ask another question that I think is important to ask. The second question that we have to ask is that in a book that talks about leaving Egypt, it's kind of funny that you miss out the main character. Moshe Rabbeinu is mentioned literally not one time on purpose, and once almost by accident. Where is Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned in the Haggadah? Not for the Makot, not for splitting the sea, not for speaking to Paro. Where's Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned? V'aminu ba'amonai u'Moshe Avdo. The one time you mentioned Moshe is to call him an Eved. True, an Eved of Hashem, something we all want to be. But we don't thank Moshe. We don't talk about Moshe. Strange. So you might think that the answer is, okay, fine. You know why we don't talk about Moshe? Because we want to talk about Hashem. Which I understand. Good answer. The problem is, there's another character that features in the Haggadah. Eliyahu HaNavi has a prominent role in the evening's proceedings. So why are we mentioning, why are we talking about Eliyahu HaNavi opening the door, Kos Shel Eliyahu? Moshe gets nothing, Eliyahu gets wine? Okay. So there's a couple points that I want to make that I think are crucial to understanding the elements of the Seder. And that is that this question of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future, Geula, is perhaps at first glance a chutzpah. It's something we shouldn't be doing. It's something really that b'di'eved, you know, not the right thing to do. But on the second hand, actually we'll see that not only is it something that's b'di'eved or not chutzpah, it's something that we're required to do. Let's try to understand. We have a fascinating pasuk. The pasuk tells us about Leah, that Leah had a child, Reuven, and she had a child, Shimon, and she had a child, Levi. Finally, she had a fourth child. What'd she name him? Yehuda. Why? Thank you, Hashem, for giving me, Hapam Odeh Et Amunai. She said, thank you, because I got my portion. That's what she said. My friends, the pasuk then says something chilling. V'ta'amod miledet. She said thank you, and she stopped giving birth. The question is, why did she stop giving birth? Because she said thank you. Chachamim explained that when a person thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for something, you have to thank and ask. You got to thank and ask for more. And the question everybody asks is the same question we asked. When you say thank you, I want more, what are you really saying? You're not saying thank you, are you? You're saying I want more. So what's going on? Why does it say v'ta'amod miledet? Isn't it a chutzpah to ask for more? Someone once asked me, Rabbi, we're asking for so many things in the Amidah. I always learned that you could ask for other things in the Amidah, but I feel like chutzpah. I'm asking for all these things, and not only do I want all this, I have my own list for you as well. I mentioned this once before. I remember when I was a young man. I was really a young boy at the time. I was a young boy. My grandfather took me to Toys R Us, and he said, get whatever you like. I did not need to be asked twice. I had waited for this moment ever since I saw the cereal box that said, sweepstakes, anything you want in Toys R Us. I thought maybe that could be me. I better have a plan. So on that day, I had a plan. I went to the aisle that had all the superhero figures. They used to make the big superhero figures, not the tiny ones, the ones that were like this big. They came with all the accessories, Batman and Superman and Spider-Man. You know which one I bought? All of them. Anyway, they're not, they weren't cheap, obviously. They cost, each one cost whatever they cost. I mean, it wasn't so much. It's not like I asked them to buy me a PS5, okay? Didn't exist back then, but I didn't ask them for something. But I bought a bunch of them. Yeah, I got home. And my mother, she took away the bag. She says, no, no, no. Your grandfather takes you to Toys R Us to ask you if you want to buy something. He asks you if you want to buy something, not some things. They're going back. You can keep one. I was so angry. Who's right, me or my mom? Me? Has v'shalom. My mother was right. So then how could we do the opposite of what my mother said? He said, I'm going to give you something. You don't ask for everything. You don't ask for more and more and more and more and more. And the answer is that you can't compare a basar v'adam, a being of flesh and blood, to borei olam. If you go to someone who is a person just like you, and they give you something, and you say, thank you, I want more, that's chutzpah. Thank you, and just that's it. Keep your mouth shut. But when you go to borei olam, you have no option of saying thank you and that's it. Thank you and that's it means, God, Hazaku Baruch, I got it from here. And do we got it from here? No. I'll give you an example. You have a guy whose father raises him, does everything for him, gives him everything he needs, gives him his star in business. The guy has his business is failing. Every day his father's putting in $100,000 into his business. Every day. The guy needs to make law, he needs to make moves, businesses. He's calling in his father's favors, all his father's good friends, using his father's contacts. He's doing it today. He's in a business, he's in a lawsuit, you know, with somebody. His father's gonna come, pay for the lawyers, be there tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. Imagine this guy at his father's birthday, makes his father a beautiful birthday party, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I owe my father the biggest thanks in the world. Father's sitting there, a little smile on his face. A little time for some nahat now. He's going to say, you know, when I was young, when I was a baby, my father used to change my diapers. And you know, sometimes my father, when I was very young, as a little boy, you know, my father took me to school. And I want to thank my father for being the man I am today, because I could not have done it without his help all those years ago. What is his father looking at him like? You forgot what I did for you today? What, I only changed your diaper? I'm not cleaning your messes up now? Right, you don't want money from me tomorrow? You're not asking me to make the phone calls to my guys? You don't want me to pay for your lawyers? Right, that's what you want to thank me for what I did 30 years ago? We say in Modim, for the chasadim, shebechol yom imanu, that God's kindnesses are with us every single day. Tamid. And we don't just, not just every day backwards. Every day forwards. We don't have an option with God to say, thank you, got it. Thank you, got it means that you don't recognize that God's got you. And that without Him, you don't have tomorrow either sorted. So therefore, a person that truly is thankful to God and grateful for yesterday is also a person who says, Hashem, I have no choice but to also ask you for today and tomorrow. The night of the Seder, we go through the miracles that God gave us. And I want to point this out. My son-in-law, Rabbi Netanel, put out a very beautiful, abbreviated set of halachot for Pesach. Many of the people here helped to sponsor not only the digital version, but also the printing. I think last year it went out to something like between 10 and 20,000 people received this guide, this halakha guide. With all the halakhot, sources, footnotes, fantastic job. Hazaku Baruch. If anyone wants, you can let us know. We'll post it. You can take it home. You can print it yourself. If you can't get a copy from us. My friends, In the booklet, he says, very important. He wrote, it's super, super important to focus on the night of the Seder, to remember that the point of the night is to communicate the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. What happened? How bad was the slavery? How the salvation came about? What was the nature of the Makot? How did they leave? What was Kiryat Yamsuf? The whole stretch of what happened in Egypt. I always recommend some books. There's a book you must get. It's called Let My Nation Go. It's written in English, okay? It's written like a novel, like a story. It incorporates Gemara, Midrash, all the various teachings of our rabbis into one story so that you're reading it like a narrative. Now, you can't read it on the evening. It's too long to read on the night. But if you read it before, you'll be able to tell the story in a better way. That's the focus of the evening. Picking out the stories, the elements that make up Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's what we should be focusing on the night. My friends, the purpose on focusing on Yetziat Mitzrayim is not only that we should remember Yetziat Mitzrayim as a historical event, but rather, much more important, to be mashrish, to implant, to lay roots to the concept of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to believe in God, in His mastery over everything, like we saw in Egypt, to believe in that to such a degree of belief that that historical story becomes part and parcel of the way we look at our lives going forward. You know why we believe in Mashiach tomorrow? Because we've seen it already. And on some level, therefore, it was important to not have Moshe Rabbeinu be in the Haggadah. Now let me explain. The Meshech Chochmah writes something unbelievable. He says that when the Jewish people are at the brink of the sea, right at the edge of this terrifying moment, when the Egypt is all behind them, wild animals on either side, they're boxed in, and an ocean's in front of them. What are they going to do? Where are they going to go? It's going to be a slaughter. Comes Nachshon ben Aminadav, and he runs in. But before Nachshon ben Aminadav runs in, what happens? Says the Pasuk, Vayisa malach amunai, and the angel of God traveled from in front of the Jewish people to behind the Jewish people. Rashi says this refers to this element of protection that was protecting the Jewish people from all the missiles, that's the language that they use, that were being thrown from the Egyptians at the Jews. All the projectiles, all the rocks and the spears and the arrows and the swords that were being thrown were being absorbed by Malach Amunai. My friends, did we not see the Malach Amunai just now in Eretz Israel? I mentioned last night, someone said, I said, look at this miracle. 300, what happened from 300 missiles and drones and ballistic. They were, the ballistic missiles, they went into, they're in space. Right? It takes, to fly all these things, it takes them hours to get from Iran to Israel. The ballistic missiles, you know how long it takes them to get to Israel? Yeah. 10 minutes. Right? Why? Right? Because it goes up. The trajectory is that it goes up and comes down. Right? These are these new hypersonic they have that. Now, I don't know if it's those that they used, but there's different things. Some things took 10 minutes. Somebody said to me, Rabbi, it's not a miracle. They just had so much more time because it was further away. It was coming from Iran. I said to them, that's true, that did take more time. But could you look with me for 1 second? Do you know who shot down the missiles? Not only us, Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia are shooting down Iranian missiles against Israel. Can we just hit pause for 1 second? Who's fighting for us? They're fighting for us now. We're not in the normalization period right now. We're in a period of time where even the Emiratis are saying, well, we're not sure about normalization. That happened last week. That Egypt and Jordan, it's crazy. Even crazier, you know who shot down five of the missiles? The daughter of the king of Jordan, whose mother doesn't take 1 second, lo pasik mi puma, right? Anti-Semitism. Criticism of Israel. Queen Rania, yimach shema. And the daughter, what's her daughter doing? Shooting down missiles. You asking me, my friends, if this is a miracle? That's how the pshat is normally learned. Vayisa malach amunai, in the back, Rashi says, to protect the Jewish people from the missiles. However, Meshech Chochmah says something different. The word malach means a messenger. It doesn't only mean an angel. Where else do we have the word in the Torah, which literally translates, malach, we always translate as angel, but it's translated as messengers. Vayishlach Yaakov, malachim lefanav. Rashi says, two opinions. One opinion is angels mamash. Other opinion is messengers. Malach doesn't have to mean an angel. It can mean an angel. Doesn't have to mean an angel. It could be a human messenger. Okay? That's what malach means. Says the Meshech Chochmah, what's this Vayisa Malach Amonai? You know who Malach Amonai is? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Malach Amonai. God says to Moshe, I want to save the Jews. But in order for me to save the Jews, I want to see that they deserve it. Moshe, I don't need to know that you're going to run in the water. I know you could run in the water. I know that you have the emunah. You talk to me every day. It's not hard for someone who talks to Borei Olam every minute of every day to have faith in God. Let me see what the Jews are going to do. Stop screaming to me. Don't yell to me anymore. Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'yisau. You speak to them. You tell them to travel. You don't travel. Says the Meshech Chochmah, who is this angel of God that went from in front to behind? Moshe. You know why? God was saying, I want to see. Where are my Jews at? Who let the Jews out? Oof. That's what God wanted to see. My friends, that is the story of the Haggadah. You want to know where the Jews are at? You want to drive emunah into the Jewish people? You need Moshe, the angel of God, to travel from in the front and to move behind. Why? Because the purpose is Vayaminu ba'amonai u'moshe avdo. When I said to you earlier that an angel of God can be an angel or a man, what we're really saying is they're both the same. They're both messengers of God. A malach is a being that is fully spiritual, super holy, right? Serafim, hayot, ofanei HaKodesh. The great, pure, holy malachim from Shamayim. And you know who else is a messenger of God? Yemach Shemo Hitler. The Ayatollahs. Everything is a messenger from God. But the challenge is, my friends, to be able to see through the messenger, past the messenger, at the one who's sending the message. Could you imagine? The postman comes to you and delivers you a card on your birthday, and it says, I love you. I've always loved you. I love you more than anyone in the world. You look at the postman. It's a little bit awkward. I didn't know that we had that kind of relationship. And then at the bottom, you realize it's signed by your wife. It's not the postman. He's delivering you a message from your wife. She's the one who loves you more than anyone else in the world. The challenge is that oftentimes while we're reading, we have not yet gotten to the signature who wrote this message. Vayaminu, at the end of Egypt, after they left the ocean, now they're singing the song. Now they're like, oh, you're signed by your loving God, Hashem. Oh, Moshe Avdo. Moshe just works for him. However great Moshe is, by the way, however holy the angel is, they are but messengers from him. So Moshe cannot be mentioned in the Haggadah, because we're trying to drive emunah into each person. And who do we believe in? Borei Olam. Of course we have emunat chachamim. We have faith in our leaders, in our rabbis, in our talmidei chachamim. But the faith that you have in the chacham is only because God signs on him. What do we say in the Amidah on the high holidays? The idea of right? V'shimcha agadol v'akadosh, alenu karata. You've called your name on us. Your emunah and a chacham is not because you have emunah and a chacham. If your emunah and a chacham is because of your emunah and a chacham, that's idol worship. Sometimes people go overboard. You're worshiping an idol if you think it's him. He has no koach, zero. The biggest rabbi, the biggest mikubal, the biggest tzaddik has zero koach, zero. To believe that he has even the tiniest amount of koach is heresy, it's idol worship. And you know who will tell you this? Ask the tzaddik, and the tzaddik will tell you. What does Yosef say? Oh, you're the dream cracker. And what does he say? Biladai. I'm nothing. Anything I'm telling you is because I'm connected to him, the knower of all secrets. Borei Olam. And if your rabbi can't tell you that, maybe you need to find another rabbi. Everything is God. En od milvado doesn't only mean that there's no enemies in this world. It doesn't only mean that there's no doctors in this world that could give you a prognosis against God. En od milvado doesn't mean that there's no other. It means literally there is nothing and no one but him. So when you're teaching emunah, you can't be talking about Moshe Avdo. So my friends, why is it that on this evening that we're talking only about God, why do we mention Eliyahu? Surely if we're scared that we're going to mix up Moshe, we're going to think that Geulah is possible then, because they had a Moshe, where's our Moshe now? Right? If that's what we think, then there's no Geulah for us now either. But if we understand that back then it was God, is God still around now? If God is around, ani ve'lo shaliach, ani ve'lo malach. That's not a random thing in the Haggadah. That is the Haggadah. Tell your children, tell your friends, tell your wife, tell yourself. That's what it says. You have to tell the story to anyone. And if there's no one there, you tell the story to yourself. Drive home the idea that whatever God wants, whenever God wants it, boom, it's there. So the situation is dire. Things are difficult. Only right before the attack, no one could figure out what was going to be with the Jewish people. How are we going to get out of this? Everyone's turning against us. All the nations, including America, are turning against us. They're all siding the other way. What are we going to do? How's it going to happen? How are we going to... Everyone, people maybe started to lose faith that there was an option, a way out. Hashem says, you forgot. Don't worry. Hold on. Yeah, let me just show you something. Yeah, hold on. Boom! Egypt, Jordan, Saudi Arabia is shooting down missiles. Now, I get that there's regional conflict. But you know what? If I told you before, you know what's going to happen? Iran is going to send these missiles. And you know who's going to shoot them down? These guys. You know, France. France, really? They were just criticizing us. The UK. Really? Cameron is not really... America said they're not getting involved in a war with Iran. This came from Iran. What's Hashem said, stop reading the news for a minute. And remember, I'm the news. I decide. I change a teleprompter. My friends, so how does Eliyahu get a position? And the answer is very beautiful. Because Eliyahu is the antidote to Vayisa Malach Amunai. Our rabbis tell us, who is Eliyahu Anavi? Yes, that is who he will be. Who is Eliyahu Anavi? Pinchas, who? Eliyahu. Pinchas is Eliyahu Anavi. Pinchas, we remember Pinchas, right? My friends, what is the moment that creates Pinchas? Before, right? What happens in that story? Everyone's dying. All the sages, all the leaders are standing outside the Oil Moed, where this man just came, Cosby brought, Zimri brought Cosby Batsur. He brings her, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, if she's Asur, how did you get married to Tzipora? Everything is burning in flames. The whole Jewish people's falling apart. And Hema Bochim Petach HaOil, they're all crying. Pinchas steps forward and says to Moshe Rabbeinu, did you not teach us HaBoel Aramit Kanaim Pogaim Bo, that someone who does this flagrant act of adultery, right? Kanaim Pogaim Bo, person is allowed to enact the law against them. I'm allowed to step up. I'm allowed to do something. What does Moshe Rabbeinu tell Pinchas? Karaina di igrita iu lehevi pravanka. The one who came up, the one who brought the law, let him be the one to enact it. You know what makes Pinchas Eliyahu? In fact, the Zohar says it was that moment when he went in, where his neshama left, and he was brought back as Adam and Aviyu. Oh, amazing things in the Zohar over there. But my friends, what makes Pinchas this character? That even when everyone was frozen, and Moshe was not acting, Vayisa Malach Amunai, from in the front and stood in the back, who comes forward? Eliyahu. Eliyahu represents the person, the people taking action themselves. Not relying on any messenger. Not relying on any leader. Understanding what needs to be done and taking that job on themselves. People come to me and I'm like, Rabbi, you know, in the community there's a need for this real, for this project. You know what you should do? They give me a very long list of things I should do. And I listen, I said, it's very, very nice. I have an amazing idea. You do it. You do it. It's a fantastic idea. Karaina di igrita. You levi pravanka. You do it. The story of the Haggadah is recognizing that with God, we are capable. With God, even though we don't have a Moshe Rabbeinu, we are capable. We don't have Aaron HaKohen. We don't have David HaMelech. We don't have, we're a generation of orphans when it comes to leaders like this. But you know what's crazy? We don't need anyone. En lanu almi leishaen ela alavinu sheba shamayim. We lean, we trust in Borei Olam. So when we go into the Haggadah, what do we say to God? God, there was once a time when you took us out. That was all you. But Hashem, we can't live without you. It's not that we needed you then in our infancy when we were young, like this boy at his party for his dad. But now, since then, we got it. God, you with us every step of the way. We needed you then, we need you now. We needed Ge'ula then, we need Ge'ula now. Enough soldiers have died. Enough hostages have died. Borei Olam. This morning, we did not say Avinu Malkenu. We did not do the Mizmorim. Partially because in the month of Nisan, we don't do Tahanunim. But my friends, that was a mistake. Just because we can't do Tahanunim doesn't mean we shouldn't and we can't pray for our brothers. There should never be a pause from that. There should never be a break. Until we get to where we need to get to, there should never be a break, including on Shabbat. It's pikuach nefesh mamash. If the halakha asked me if I'm allowed to get into an ambulance and drive on Shabbat to go take to save them, even on a safek, I would be allowed. How much more so to pray? My friends, let us understand this. When it comes down to it, en lanu al mi lehishayin, and therefore, there's not a single moment which is not pregnant with possibility for Ge'ula. Because any moment that we have God, we have the possibility of Mashiach. And every moment, we have God. Baruch al-Mayle Olam. Amen ve-Amen. Rabbi Hananya, ben HaKashah Meratzah.